Reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, beginning at verse 16 and reading through to verse 24. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous. And now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it.
Well, do keep that passage open, and we'll pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is truth, that it is your message to us. And we pray now that by the power of your Holy Spirit, we may understand it and believe it and take it to our hearts and be changed by it more into the likeness of Jesus. In whose name we pray. Amen. I wonder what your greatest ambition in life is. It's worth giving this some serious thought. What do you really want to do with your life? How do you want your life to look in 10 years' time? Obviously, everybody wants to be successful. If you're a policeman, you want to catch a lot of criminals. If you're a teacher, you want to make a great impact on young people's lives. If you're a businessman, you want to make a good profit. Ambition is a good thing. We need an entrepreneurial society. We need Christians in senior positions. We need Christian politicians, Christian lawyers, Christian medics. All such ambition is God-given and worthwhile. However, I want to suggest that there is an ambition which we should all nurture, which takes precedence even over success in your career. And the ambition I'm talking about is in verse 18. The brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. That should be our greatest ambition. Service to the gospel. I want to be a servant of the gospel. So if you're a teacher, hopefully you're an excellent teacher who is primarily a servant of the gospel in the school. Or if you're a doctor, you're an excellent doctor who is primarily a servant of the gospel in the surgery or in the hospital. In other words, we all have a vocation over and above even being a parent. Our vocation is to serve the gospel. So we're aiming to be excellent parents who are primarily servants of the gospel, nurturing Christ-likeness in our children. Thank you that so many of you mothers here this morning do that for your children. The context of these verses is that the Apostle Paul is making a collection for the poor Christians in Jerusalem. This is the liberal gift in verse 20. This is to have the double benefit of relieving the needs of the poor in Jerusalem and of uniting the Gentile churches whom Paul serves and the mother church, the Jewish church in Jerusalem. Verse 19, the gift is to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. The Macedonians have been highlighted as particularly sacrificial and generous. And Paul is encouraging the Corinthians to emulate this generosity. But someone has got to collect the money. And Paul doesn't want it to be just himself. He wants to be accountable. If only all Christian leaders in history had been as disciplined. Today, of course, we have checks and balances. We have a charity commission. It would be quite difficult for a minister of Christchurch to steal the money and get away with it. Paul is writing in the ancient world. He has to put his own safeguards in place to protect his own reputation as much as anything. Verse 21, we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. And the main safeguard he comes up with is to appoint stewards who are above reproach. And I'm saying we should all seek to be like these stewards. We should seek to honor Jesus by being servants of the gospel. I've got three headings that are on your sheets. Titus is a servant of the gospel. The brother praised by all is a servant of the gospel. And the zealous brother is a servant of the gospel. Firstly, Titus is a servant of the gospel. Verses 16 and 17. Verse 16, I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. Notice that. Paul doesn't thank Titus for being such a wonderful person. He thanks God for putting good things into Titus's heart. Now, I'm sure Paul did often express his thanks to Titus, just as we express our thanks to one another. But the point Paul makes is that Titus is only a godly servant because God made him that way. In other words, we're responsible for our own shortcomings. If I'm less than loving to my wife and children, that's not God's fault. That's my fault. That's my sin. I'm responsible for my sin. But if you say to me, that was an excellent sermon, Chris, sure, I've worked on it, but it was God who gave me the mind to think. It was God who gave me ideas. It was God who gave me the energy. It was God who gave me the opportunity. And so we could go on. We're to give all the glory to God. This is very helpful when we think about the issue of humility. We all have different things that we're good at. Some of us are good at music, some are good at sport, some are good at making things. And it's very common for people to be proud about the things they're good at and insecure about the things they're bad at. But if you view all your abilities as gifts from God, then you're free. Simply to say, thank you for the compliment. Of course, it was God who gave me the ability. All the glory goes to him. I take no glory for myself in the things I'm good at, or at least I shouldn't. And then, we don't need to feel insecure about the things we can't do. God hasn't gifted me in those ways. We're also liberated to enjoy God's gifts in others. I can think of one boy I was in school with, and he was always hyper-competitive. He couldn't stand it if anyone was better than him at anything. Well, a Christian doesn't need to be like that. We understand all our abilities are gifts from God, and we trust that he has given the gifts which are right for our characters. He's given the gifts which will most glorify the Lord Jesus and build his kingdom. Titus, then, has the same concern for the Corinthians which Paul has for them himself. This concern is a gift from God. Titus is Paul's co-worker. We meet him lots of times in the New Testament. Perhaps he's best known for being the leader of the church on Crete. He's an apostolic delegate. He represents the authority of the Apostle Paul. He welcomed Paul's appeal. He was keen as mustard to get involved in Paul's project of raising money for the Jerusalem poor. But he's not just doing this to keep Paul happy. He is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. He's not a pressed man. You know how it's often said that one volunteer is worth 10 pressed men? Titus is such a volunteer. Titus is a servant of the gospel. Secondly, the brother praised by all is a servant of the gospel. Verse 18. And we are sending along with Titus the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. We don't know who this man was, but he obviously led a wonderful life. He is praised by all the churches. Verse 19, he was chosen by the churches. He was obviously a well-known figure in the New Testament church. And you can see what Paul is doing. He wants this collection to be beyond criticism. So he chooses Titus, very well known and respected. He chooses the brother who is praised in all the churches. And what is he praised for? His service to the gospel. During World War II, Britain needed to increase its production of coal. Winston Churchill called together labor leaders to enlist their support. At the end of his presentation, he asked them to picture in their minds a parade, which he knew would be held in Piccadilly Circus after the war. First, he said, would come the sailors who had kept the vital sea lanes open. Then would come the soldiers who had come home from Dunkirk and then gone on to defeat Rommel in Africa. Then would come the pilots who had driven the Luftwaffe from the sky. Last of all, he said, would come a long line of sweat-stained, soot-streaked men in miners' caps. Someone would cry from the crowd, "And where were you during our critical days of struggle?" And from 10,000 throats would come the answer, "We were deep in the earth with our faces to the coal." Someone has said, not all the jobs in the church are prominent and glamorous, but it is often the people with their faces to the coal who help the church accomplish its mission. This brother is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. One of the loveliest things about mature Christians is that they don't like praise. I recently contacted a very good friend of mine, a very godly man, called Oswald Penry. I used him as a sermon illustration last Sunday night. I used him as an example of someone who's lived out the Sermon on the Mount for many years. I asked him if he could send me a photograph. He was willing to help, which I knew he would be, but he was utterly humble. He didn't think he was worthy of the honor. He was full of faults and failings. That kind of attitude is lovely. Oswald is a person who is praised by all the churches in South Wales for his service to the gospel. And he's completely clear that he's a sinner and that all the glory goes to God. I'm sure this brother, praised by all the churches, was equally humble, equally uncomfortable with praise. Titus is a servant of the gospel. The brother praised by all is a servant of the gospel. And the zealous brother is a servant of the gospel. So here we meet another example of gospel service, whose name we do not know. Verse 22, in addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous. Zeal means fervent or enthusiastic devotion. In other words, you're excited at the thought of serving Jesus. You're motivated to serve Jesus. You want to serve Jesus. And you do so with all the energy you can summon. When he was pastor for the Methodist Church in Scarborough, William Sangster had an eccentric member of the church who tried to be a zealous Christian. Unfortunately, the man was slightly deficient and usually did the wrong thing. While working as a barber, the man lathered up a customer for a shave, came at him with a poised razor and asked, "Are you prepared to meet your God?" I fear, however, that few of us ever come near to being too forthright in our evangelism. I think most of us are too timid. I fear that we're not zealous. Wisdom is required. I have a few friends with whom I've shared the gospel and who've reacted very negatively. I take it now that I'm called upon to win them over without words. Like the wife with the unbelieving husband in 1 Peter 3:1. But most of the time, most of us could be much braver, much more forthright in talking about Jesus. I don't know if this is helpful, but what I do is I introduce Christianity into the conversation. And I do this by talking about what I've been doing or what I'm going to do. So I might be talking to a dad at the school gate. "Have you got a busy day today?" "Yes. I'm going to take assembly. Then I'm going to work on a talk about the relevance of Jesus' teaching for today." Now they might say nothing. Or they might say, "What a stupid idea." But often they'll say, "Oh, that's very interesting. What's your talk about?" You can do a similar thing. "What did you do on the weekend?" "Oh, I went to church. We had an interesting talk about what it means to be a follower of Jesus today." They might then close down the conversation. Or they might ask you, "What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus today?" If you pray, God will give you opportunity to speak for him. He will answer that prayer. And he will give you the grace to talk about Jesus with love and winsomeness. This zealous brother is a servant of the gospel, and we should be zealous too. So there's Titus, the brother praised by all, and the zealous brother, all servants of the gospel. And very importantly, this zealous brother, verse 22, has great confidence in the Corinthians. This is very important. There's a relationship of trust between him and the church. Such relationships are to be prized. Pray for our relationships. Pray that we would have confidence in one another, that we will be able to lean on one another. Verse 23, Titus is Paul's partner. Remember Philippians 1:5? Partnership in the gospel. That's what we have to build as a church. We're not just church members. We're partners in the gospel. We're all ministers. We're all pastors. We're all evangelists. There are no passengers in God's church. Every member has a ministry in God's ideal. Titus is, verse 23, Paul's fellow worker. And all three men are representatives of the churches. Now, there are two ways you can read this verse. Either the three men are an honor to Christ, or some of your versions render this verse so that it is the churches which are an honor to Christ. Either way, I want to honor Christ. Don't you want to honor Christ? Of course you do. Let's honor Christ together. Verse 24, therefore show these men the proof of your love. Whenever we meet servants of the gospel, we should love them. Church can be a wonderful place. Everyone's serving the gospel. Everyone loving one another. Show these men, verse 24, the reason for our pride in you. Come on, Corinthians. I've told Titus and the others how wonderful you are. Now live up to this. That's a very good way to teach. Encourage one another. And over time, we will live up to this encouragement. I'm sure when the Corinthians read this, there were some opponents of Paul in the church. We know that. But there will have been many who said to themselves, yes, I want to live up to Paul's praise. Verse 24, so that the churches can see it. And I hope there's that stirring in each of our hearts this morning, that as we see this standard of service to the gospel, we're saying, yes, I want to give my life to this. I want to give my ambitions to this. I want to give my energies to this. I want to give my time to this. I want to give my money to this. I want to give my praying to this. But I really believe in the project of serving the gospel, just like Titus, the brother praised by all, and this zealous brother. Well, are you a servant of the gospel? Do you see this as the great goal of your life? To serve King Jesus. To do his work. To make him known. Make it your goal. There is a great reward in heaven for servants of the gospel. Let's take a moment of silence to make our own response to God.